For our scripture reading tonight, we turn in God's Word to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The Word of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of heart, your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Text for our sermon tonight is the first part of verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the passage that we consider tonight is fitting for a sermon that's applicatory to the Lord's Supper. Now, we're partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning. One of the things that was signified and sealed to us is that we are partakers of Jesus Christ. It was signified and sealed to us that we belong to his body. One of the things then that that means for us is that we're soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. He places us into the heat of the spiritual battle. Although we enjoy already now the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ, we belong yet to the church militant, the church fighting here on this earth. Earlier in the passage that we read in verse 12, described for us the kinds of enemies that we're standing opposed to. And those enemies are not enemies of flesh and blood, but those enemies are great spiritual powers, the powers of darkness and of iniquity. And later on in this passage, in verse 16, we read that the prince of the powers of darkness has us in his crosshairs. He's aiming his fiery darts at us to destroy us. We're in the midst of the great conflict of the ages between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, this warfare that's been going on for all of human history from the fall into sin until the very end and the coming of Jesus Christ in victory. And as those who are called to this great conflict, we're called by King Jesus to stand firm over against those enemies, to withstand the hosts of sin and darkness. When we hear that command, immediately we start to wonder, how is that possible? How is it that we're able to stand against these great spiritual powers of darkness? The answer is that we don't stand in our own strength. Stand strong in the Lord, in the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And we go forth into battle not in our own strength, but armed with the armor of God. The armor that He's forged and that He's provided and that He arms us with. We're called then to put on the armor of God. The very first specific piece of armor that we're called to put on is the girdle of truth. That calling to put on the girdle of truth is appropriate not just because it's applicatory, but it's fitting also at this time of year. It's fitting at a time of year when a number of important spiritual activities begin again. In this coming week, our good Christian schools will open their doors once again, and the work of covenant education will commence once more. And in the following week, the Lord willing, children and our young people will begin another season of catechism instruction in the history of the Scripture and in the truths of the Reformed faith. And within the next month, the Bible study societies of the church will begin again to dig into the riches of the Word of God. These are important spiritual activities, and it's appropriate that at this time we be encouraged in these things. These activities demand a tremendous amount of our time and our energy. We can begin to question whether it's really worth it. We can begin to question at times whether we can continue in all of these important spiritual activities. Part of the encouragement is this Word of God to us. In engaging in these various spiritual activities, what we're doing is arming ourselves with the girdle of truth. In that way, God is pleased to strengthen us for the spiritual battle that each one of us faces. Gives us the strength to stand and to withstand the forces of darkness and to stand in the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. Call your attention to this passage tonight under the theme, Armed with the Girdle of Truth. Notice first of all the identity of the girdle, secondly the function of the girdle, and And then, thirdly, the wearing of the girdle. Command of our captain, Jesus Christ, in the text is, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Holy Spirit is using an illustration there, an illustration taken from military life and the armor of a Roman soldier. And the Spirit identifies what is the girdle or the belt for the child of God in the Christian armor that we're to put on. The girdle or the belt is identified as the truth. Now, there's some disagreement about what is actually meant by that. Some commentators explain the girdle of truth not as truth as we ordinarily understand it, the truth of God's Word, but they interpret it as truthfulness or sincerity, so that what we're to put on is a belt of truthfulness over against lies and over against hypocrisy. Now, that idea generally is not opposed to the Word of God. We are to be people of truthfulness and sincerity. We're to oppose the lie and hypocrisy. But I don't think that's what the Spirit has in mind here. One of the indications of that is the list of the other pieces of armor here. The armor is identified as the armor of God. And all of the pieces of armor that are described are things that are, in a sense, forged or made by God and given by God to us. The breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Those are all things that God in His grace gives to us. And it would seem strange then that the very first piece of armor that's mentioned in that list is something different than that, something that we do, our being sincere, our being genuine and faithful. It's fitting, rather, that that first piece of armor, again, be the armor of God, something that He supplies, so that we understand this girdle of truth to be the truth of God and of God's Word to us. Raises the question, what is truth and what do we mean by truth? Generally, truth is anything that is in accord with reality, anything that's in harmony with what is genuinely real. There is and are certain realities, certain things that are true, and anything for it to be truth has to harmonize, has to be in accord with that reality. We can use a couple of examples from earthly life to see that. What is reality in our universe is that the sun is stationary and the earth is revolving around the sun. If someone would say, what's true is that the earth is still and the sun is what's actually revolving around the earth, that's a lie. That's not true. It's not in harmony. It doesn't accord with the reality of God's universe. Or to use a different illustration, reality for human race is that God has made a very clear distinction between a man and a woman. Physical and emotional differences that God has made between a man and a woman. And now if a man says, I'm actually a woman, that's not true. That's a lie. That's not in harmony. It doesn't accord with the reality of God's creation. There is real objective truth. That which accords with, is in harmony with God's reality. Now we need to say that because we live in the midst of a world that is opposed to God's truth. In fact, we live in a society that is opposed even to the idea, the concept of truth. We live in a world that's identified as and characterized by postmodernism. What postmodernism refers to is the fact that they are opposed to the very idea of truth. There is no such thing as real, objective truth. There might be claims that a person makes of truth, but in reality, they say sarcastically with Pontius Pilate, "What is truth?" Postmodernism teaches that every man can believe whatever he wants. And that is truth. That's truth for that man. I might say that there's a God in heaven, the one true living and eternal God, the only God that must be worshipped, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that's truth, they'll say, for me. Now my neighbor can say, there's no God in heaven. Everything happens by chance. It just goes on, and there's no rhyme or reason to anything. There's no God that reigns over all that we must be worshiping. And that's truth too. That's truth for that person. Or I might say that the earth is 6,000 years old, created by God in six literal 24-hour days. And that's truth for me. But my neighbor can say that the universe is billions upon billions of years old. And that's truth too. Even though these things are entirely contradictory to each other, we have to acknowledge that both of them are true. Postmodernism teaches a so-called gospel of toleration. We have to be willing to acknowledge the truth of other people. I might not believe what my neighbor says. I might not teach the same thing. I don't have to confess that myself, but I have to tolerate him. I have to acknowledge that what's truth for me may be different for him, but that is truth for him also, and respect him in the truth that he proclaims for himself. The only thing that's not tolerated, according to postmodernism, is a Christian who is intolerant and who proclaims that there is such a thing as truth. No, postmodernism attempts to be warm and inviting and tolerating. The reality is that this is a bold, front-on attack upon God, upon the God of truth and the Word of truth. Scriptures make plain that there is such a thing as truth and that this truth stands over against and opposed to the lie. There are things that are reality and there are things that are unreality. There is fact and there's falsehood. The church must continue to proclaim the fact that there is truth and that truth stands over against the lie. What is the truth? What's the specific content of truth now? We have to start with God. God is truth. The truth is God. The truth is that there is a God in heaven. That this God is the only God. That this God is triune, three persons in one being. That this God is sovereign, he's supreme, he rules powerfully over everything in the universe. And that this God is a God of matchless glory, who dwells in a glory and a light that no man can approach unto. The truth is that this triune God is the Creator, who about 6,000 or so years ago brought all things into existence by His Word in six literal 24-hour days. The truth is that this God is the sustainer and the ruler who by His providence upholds and governs everything in the creation. Truth is that this God is the Savior. Savior of His chosen people in Jesus Christ, who delivers them from their misery, and who in the deep, dark way of sin and grace is pleased to glorify Himself, salvation of a church to everlasting life. That means that at the very heart and the center of the truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says of Himself in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the truth because He is the full and the complete revelation to us of the triune God in His glory. He's the revelation to us, His people, of God as the God of our salvation. As such, Jesus Christ sets us free. He says in John 8, verse 31 and 32, "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." As the truth, Jesus Christ sets us free. He sets us free from the bondage of the lie. Sets us free from bondage to the devil, to sin, death, and hell. Sets us free to the truth, fellowship and communion with the God of truth, the forgiveness of our sins in Christ who is the truth. The truth of salvation and forgiveness, life everlasting in glory. The truth, Jesus Christ, is something that applies to us in every part of our life. This isn't just something for our minds, for us to read and to understand and to recite and simply know in our minds, but it's something that encompasses the whole of our life. Truth, doctrine, is the foundation for every part of our life. Truth applies the way that we live in our personal life. Truth applies to how we live in our homes, in our marriages, with our families, with our children. The truth applies to the way we live in the church. The truth applies to life in the good Christian school. It applies to us at the workplace. It applies to us as we go out amongst the world. Live our life as citizens of this country. The truth is all comprehensive. That truth governs us in every aspect of our lives. How do we know that truth? How do we know what's truth and what's not truth? What's the lie? And the answer is that God has revealed that to us, and He's done so in His Word. The inspired Scriptures are the truth. Now, in the Scriptures, God does not reveal to us every last thing about Himself, about His creation, about His plan of salvation in the future, what's going to happen. He doesn't reveal all of the details for us. But He gives to us in His Word that which is necessary for us to know for our salvation. Everything that we need to know is here. Revealed for us very clearly. The Word of God then is our guide. It's the light upon our pathway. It's the standard for truth and lie, reality and unreality, fact and falsehood. The Word of God guides us in that way so that we know what is the truth and what is the lie. We hear that Word of God preached every Sabbath day. It's through the preaching of the gospel that we know what is the truth and believe the truth. So that faithful preaching of God's word is preaching of the truth. We don't say that in pride. It's only because the Word of God is truth, but faithful preaching of the gospel is truth. We can be thankful in that regard for our Reformed confessions. Our Reformed confessions are a helpful guide for us in understanding the truth. That's not to say we place our Reformed confessions on par with God's Word, as if they're the same and they have the same authority. We don't say that. The Word of God is the authority in our lives. Reformed confessions are an explanation of the Word of God, and we believe a faithful explanation. Our Reformed confessions take what is taught throughout the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation and give a helpful, a succinct explanation of those truths. The truth of justification, for example, taught throughout the Scriptures, our Reformed confessions take all of that together and give a helpful, succinct definition and explanation of what justification is. And that's a help to us. We can turn to our Reformed confessions as faithful explanations of the Word of God, come to a better understanding of the truth, to grow in our knowledge of that truth, to grow in our conviction concerning that truth, and to be guided in our life in harmony with that truth. God has revealed, He's made known to us truth. Truth concerning Himself. The truth concerning who we are. The truth concerning His world. The truth concerning the future and what's to come and life everlasting. The truth plays an essential role in our spiritual warfare. The girdle or the belt of truth has an important function in that conflict. To understand what is the function of the girdle of truth, it's helpful to look at what was the function for a Roman soldier of that girdle or that belt. Girdle was often a very thick leather piece that they would strap around themselves, and it was often the very first piece of armor that they would put on. One of the purposes of that girdle was to give freedom to the soldier. At that time, men would often wear a long, loose-fitting, flowing robe. And you can imagine the difficulties that they would have in running and moving around and doing battle on the battlefield if they are wearing this long flowing robe. So what they would do is they'd take this leather girdle or this belt and they'd cinch it tight around their waist and they'd take up some of the folds of that robe and they'd tuck it into the belt so that it was secure and that their legs then were free to move around. They could run, they could move and do battle freely on the battlefield. Kept them from being hindered. And the idea in the Scripture of having your loins girt about is an idea of readiness, being prepared, having the freedom to go forth and to do battle. Another of the functions that that belt served was as kind of a base or a foundation for the whole of the rest of the armor. Again, this was often one of the very first things that a soldier would put on, and it served as a brace or a support for the soldier when he put on all of the rest of his armor. Oftentimes, the breastplate that would cover a man's chest would be tied into his belt. And then he usually also had a sheath that he connected to his belt into which he could place his sword. The other pieces of the armor were tied together often because of this girdle. It was a foundational piece of armor, therefore. And the effect of having this belt cinched tight around a man's waist was that it gave him that freedom so that he didn't have to worry about his armor as he went out into battle, whether it was going to stay on him, but he could go forth confident and focus solely upon the battle at hand. It gave him strength and conviction and courage as he went forth into battle. The girdle of truth serves a similar function for us in our spiritual conflict. The function of that girdle of truth is, first of all, that it gives readiness. Just as the belt around the waist of that soldier and the taking up of his robes gave him freedom without hindrance, so also does the truth. How can we be ready to go forth into battle if we don't have the truth? The truth is essential in that battle. The truth is what gives us the readiness to go forth. The function that that girdle of truth serves for us is also that it's foundational. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit is pleased to mention this piece of the armor first. The first piece of spiritual armor that we're to put on is the belt of truth, because it's foundational for all of the rest of the armor that is to come. It ties it all together. You can't have the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, without first that girdle of truth. It means then that the purpose that the truth serves for us in our spiritual battle is that it makes us ready. It gives us strength. It gives us courage to stand in the spiritual battles that we face. Notice that connection in our text. Text begins in verse 14. Stand therefore, how? Having your loins girt about with truth. Having our loins girt about with truth, putting on and wearing this belt of truth, gives us the strength to stand. You can see that clearly when we remember who it is that we're to stand opposed to, who are the enemies in this battle. The enemies in our spiritual battle use the lie primarily. The lie is one of the fiery darts of the devil and all of our other enemies that they use in their attack upon us. And therefore, to stand and to oppose those enemies, we need the truth. The devil makes use of the lie. He's the liar from the beginning, and his very name means liar, deceiver, mudslinger. That's the tactic that he used in the garden to tempt Adam and Eve. He told them lies about God, and that's what he continues to do today. He tries to make us believe the lie that we can be gods, that we can rule our own life. He tells us the lie that sin is not misery, but sin is pleasure. And the way of obedience to God is the way of misery. He tries to make us believe the lie that God doesn't care for us. He doesn't have our best interest at heart. He doesn't love us. This wicked world uses the means of the lie in this spiritual battle. In allegiance with the devil, they too speak that which is untrue to deceive us. The world also preaches the supposed truth of a life of pleasure, that sin is the way of pleasure and enjoyment, and we can pursue that way without any consequences, without any hurt. The world teaches the lie that it's every man for himself, everyone looks out for himself, that we are strong, that we're the master of our fate and the master of our lives, and we don't answer to a God in heaven, we answer to to ourselves. The world teaches the lie that we can be whatever we want to be and we can do whatever we want to do. It teaches the lie that beauty is superficial, that sex is a god, that divorce is easy and comes without any consequences, that we can do whatever we want with whomever we want, whenever we want. The world teaches the lie. The apostate church uses the lie. It does so with the appearance of truth, but the apostate church teaches the lie, God didn't create, but that all things evolved. Teaches the lie that God loves everyone without exception and desires the salvation of everyone. Teaches the lie that grace is common for all. Teaches the lie that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save everyone. And teaches the lie that salvation is man's work and up to man's will and good works. And then there is our old man of sin. Enemy that is behind the lines, as it were, who loves the lie and loves to believe the lie. The old man of sin teaches the lie, sin is okay. Just so long as someone else doesn't find out about it, it's okay if I walk in that way. I can do so without consequence. Teaches the lie that we're always right and everyone else is always wrong and it's their fault. Teaches the lie that life is about me, about what I want, about what makes me happy. The lie that I can't do battle with this temptation and overcome this temptation by the grace of God. The lie that God doesn't love me and doesn't care about me because of all the difficult circumstances in my life and all of the other lies that we tell ourselves. What we're facing in our spiritual battle is the lie from every side and every enemy, the devil and the world and the false church and our own sinful flesh. It's one lie after another. How are we going to stand in this battle? How are we going to oppose these spiritual enemies? We need the truth. We need to have our loins girt about with truth. We don't have the belt of truth. There's no way that we can stand in this battle. If we're ignorant of the truth, or we're doubting the truth and not depending upon the truth of God's Word, we step out into battle blind and lame. Going to fall. We're faced with temptation and faced with those enemies. We need the truth. It's when our loins are girt about with the truth that we're able to stand and oppose those spiritual enemies, girded with the truth, knowing the truth, grounded in the truth. We're able to say, that's not true. That's a lie. What the world is preaching to me isn't true. It's tempting, it's inviting. It's not true, though. We're able to say to our old man of sin, that's not true. When our old man wants to believe the lie, and that lie is so appealing to us, we can say, that's not true. That's a lie. Stand for the truth and live and walk in the truth. It's only with that girdle of truth cinched around our waists we're able to stand in this battle. How important, how essential is the truth, the Word of God in our spiritual battle? The truth doesn't work automatically. The fact that we have a Bible sitting in front of us doesn't mean that we're ready to withstand and oppose those enemies. We need to arm ourselves with this truth. This is something that we have to put on and wear. Notice that in our text. Literally it says, "Stand therefore, having girded yourself in your loins with truth." We're called to gird ourselves, to put on this piece of our spiritual armor. Spirit isn't referring here just to the truth in and of itself, but this truth as we know it and believe it and live it. To arm ourselves with this girdle of truth, it means that we have to study the truth of God's Word. We have to know these things and understand them. It means that we have to believe these truths. It can't be just something in our mind. It's something in our heart. We believe them. We're convicted of them. Arming ourselves with the truth means that we love the truth. We love the God of truth. We love the truth of His Word, and we despise all that is opposed to God and to His truth. In that way, we're strengthened by our Heavenly Father to stand in this spiritual battle, to go forth with confidence, not in ourselves, but in Him and the strength He provides through His Word of truth. It's a lifelong activity for the child of God, arming ourselves with the truth of His Word. And God gives us many different means in which we're able to arm ourselves and put on this piece of our spiritual armor. Chief means, of course, is the preaching of the gospel. It's through the faithful preaching of the Word of God. It's the chief means of grace that God gives us, the grace that we stand in need of in our daily battles against sin and temptation. How essential then for us is the worship of God in His house on the Sabbath day? How important to us is faithful attendance at the worship services, and not just being here in body, but attentiveness to the Word that is proclaimed. And ask ourselves this question: can I afford not to be in church twice on the Sabbath day? Can I afford not to be attentive to the Word of God as it's proclaimed? Can I afford to go forth into the battle of faith without those things? Chief means of grace is the preaching of the Word, but one of the other means is our own study of that Word. Something we do personally, something we do in our families, in devotions. We read the Word. We strive to come to a better understanding of that Word. There too, we can ask ourselves the question, can we afford not to do those things? Can I afford not to read God's Word daily? Can I afford not to have devotions with my family? And can my spouse and my children afford not to be strengthened in that way? God also gives to us the Bible studies of the church, which, God willing, will begin again in another month or so. Very thankful for the opportunity that God gives to us there. Gather together as fellow saints to dig into the truth and to arm ourselves with the girdle of truth. That's something that takes commitment. It's not easy for us. And there are times where we have legitimate reasons why we can't attend. But in that way too, we're arming ourselves with truth. We're encouraging one another in the spiritual battle of faith. And at times we have to get past ourselves and our own supposed comfort level, fellowship with other saints in that way, and to be armed with the with the girdle of truth. For our children and for our young people, one of the means that God gives to us is instruction in catechism. For them, an important means of grace where they're grounded in this truth, grounded in the history of the Scripture and in the doctrines of the Reformed faith. That too is something that takes commitment, it takes time. Studying catechism, doing written work, remembering the memory verse, and parents helping the children do that and go over the catechism. We can be very thankful for a place in a church which maintains good catechism instruction for the youth so that they're grounded in the Word of God and armed for spiritual battle. They're armed through that means with the girdle of truth. For our children and our young people, it's one of the important spiritual blessings that comes also through our good Christian schools. And this coming week, once again, those good Christian schools will begin work. There too, we can be thankful to God for the means of grace that is. What makes our schools unique, what makes them truly Christian, it's not just that there's devotions in the morning where the Word of God is read and prayer is offered. It's not what makes them unique, what makes them Christian. Neither is it the case that there's a Bible class, as important as that is. That's not what makes them unique and what makes them Christian. What makes our schools uniquely Christian is that all of the subjects, math and history and science and music and all of the rest, everyone is taught in the light of the truth of God's Word. So that our children aren't just taught all kinds of facts and information, as important as it is for them to learn that, but through that they're given to see their Heavenly Father in all of His glory and in the truth of God in His creation. And in that way, then, they're armed. Armed to go forth into every aspect of earthly life, knowing what is truth and what is the lie. Armed for the spiritual battle. So thankful to God for Christian schools. Thankful we have Protestant Reform schools, where the same things that are taught here in the church and the same things that are taught in our homes are taught also in our schools, so that there's a harmony there and there's a complete instruction in the truth of the Word of God. What an encouragement that ought to be to persevere in that great endeavor. Encouragement here to the children and the young people to work hard in their school work, to be armed with the girdle of truth. It's encouragement for teachers, and a very demanding responsibility that they have. The important place that God has given to them, arming children with the truth and preparing them for spiritual battle. What a high calling it is to be a teacher in our schools. We need teachers. We need more teachers. We need young men and women to seriously consider. God is calling them to be a teacher and to prepare themselves to give that kind of instruction to the children and the young people. An encouragement to everyone involved, to administrators, to board members, to supporters of the school, to continue in our support of these good Christian schools. Give of ourselves, prayers, time and energy, our money, the support of these Christian schools where children are armed with the girdle of truth. Are we doing that? Are we putting on this piece of spiritual armor? Are we arming ourselves for the battle against powerful spiritual enemies? Girding our loins with truth. Do so. You and I together both. Put on, gird yourself with the girdle of truth. Receive from God strength. Strength to stand, the strength to oppose those spiritual enemies. Strength to stand. Till Jesus Christ comes to call us home. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, strengthen us. Strengthen us because we are weak. Strengthen us to go forth in the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, to oppose thy enemies, to speak truth in the midst of a world that loves the lie, and to live truth in every aspect of our walk here on this earth. Preserve us, defend us, and continue to grant us the grace that we stand in need of day by day. Hear us, not because of some worthiness in ourselves, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.